You a little bit proud, Tammy?
Okay.
I want to say I've greatly appreciated these testimonials. I hope that you have as well. And we want to give a special thanks to Tommy Rieger, who filmed all those and then edited them. And the editing is really what takes a lot of time. So, Tommy, thank you so much for doing all that. It's been great. We have one more to go. And it's appropriate that next week, when we have our college students back, we'll have a college student give us a testimonial. So that's very exciting. Well, we're going to think about thinking this morning, and thinking about the Word of God impacting our lives. It is our custom that if you have a prayer request or if you want to know more about the Lord, you want to speak with the elders, a couple of our elders and their spouses will be out the back door to the left. You can meet with them in the conference room. And it is my custom to begin the sermon in prayer and ask God to be guiding myself as well as you through this time. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for these ancient words. Ancient words that are so meaningful, so significant, even in our own day, because they are words breathed in by Your Spirit. And so we thank You for how they impact our lives. We thank You that we have so many copies of Bibles in our homes that we can turn to when so many ages past have not had any copies. We're thankful that we can come and hear Your Word read to us and hear Your Word preached to us, and we will not be harassed by anyone because of it. And so as we reflect upon Your Word this morning, ask the blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of Your Word. It's through Your Son we pray. Amen. There was a internationally known top female runner who entered a 10K race in Connecticut, and she lived in New York City. And the day before the race, she called the race organizers to make sure she had the right directions about how to get to the race. And the morning of, Saturday morning, she got in her car and she drove to Connecticut to be in the race. But as she got closer, she was a little confused. So she pulled over and asked a gas station attendant where this race might be. The only thing she knew for sure is that it started in the parking lot of a mall. And she thought she was close. And it just so happened this gas station attendant did know of a race that was getting ready to start in the parking lot of a mall close by, so he directed her over there. She showed up at the race, wasn't long before it was going to start. She went to the table to sign up. They had no record of her being registered, but they were really surprised and excited that somebody of her fame would show up and race in their race. So they said, if you'll just go ahead and put this number on, you can enter and you can run in this race. And so she did. Got the number on, started off on the race, and she finished first. 4 minutes ahead of the first man, only to discover afterwards she had run in the wrong race. The other race was the next town over that she was supposed to run in. So it just reminds us that it matters where we begin. And we have begun our journey with Jesus. We want to know Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. And so in that sense, really, Jesus isn't just the beginning for us, but the end for us. And so it matters where we begin, but it also matters that we stay on this path all the way to the end. In the summer of 2013, a woman in her 60s by the name of Geraldine Larger was hiking the Appalachian Trail with a friend. Her friend got called away on an emergency. She decided to keep hiking, but along the path, so this was a woman who was directionally challenged, along the path, she needed to use the restroom, got off of the path, and then could not find her way back onto the path. And she wandered and wandered and finally decided she should set up her tent and wait for somebody to come find her. And sure enough, 2 years later, a ranger wandering in the woods found her remains. It's easy to get off the path. There are many things that will distract us from where we are going. And once we're off the path, it's easy to get turned around. I think I recognize that tree, right? I think I recognize that rock. Most of us might think of somebody we've known who was strong in the faith. And yet they became distracted and they got off the path in their life. And these side trips that we take come from thoughts. And they come from ideas that we experience and that we hear in our world. I think about a young man, a college student at a Christian college, himself a Christian, who decides he needs a new printer for his computer. So he goes down and buys a new printer from Walmart and takes it home and unpacks it and sets it up with his computer and then takes his old printer and sticks it inside the box and takes it back down to Walmart and says, I'd like to get my refund for my money on this because you've sold me an old printer. And the woman behind the service counter said, I don't think this is the printer that belongs in the box. But he argued with her and he convinced her and he got a refund. Where did he get the idea that that kind of behavior was appropriate for anyone, much less a Christian? He certainly did not get it from Jesus. Maybe from the movies, where thieves are thought of as the protagonists, the good guys, you know, the Robin Hood movies. Maybe that's where he got the idea. But we're all shaped by ideas all around us, and they come to us from many different directions. They come to us from Facebook or from our parents or from school. The ideas come to us from friends and from the media. Oh, yes, the media. Always hearing about how bad the media is. We shouldn't be listening and watching that. And yet, as bad as the media is, we keep watching, we keep reading, we keep listening. Maybe it's the media that other people are watching and listening and reading that's so bad, and not the ones we're watching and listening and reading. Many of the other ideas we get, we're not sure quite where they come from. Another student went off to college. No sooner was that student established in the dorm than the credit card applications began coming. And of course, he filled up one of those applications, got his credit card, and pretty quickly maxed it out and began paying the minimum monthly payments. No problem, he thought to himself. I'm going to get a good job when I graduate from college, and then I'll pay it all off. Where did he get the idea that this is how the world works? Or there was a tornado in Northeast Ohio, and houses were destroyed. And some of the residents in that area called FEMA and waited for FEMA to come and do repairs. Meanwhile, the Amish people living in the area just began building their homes all over again. Where did each of them get their ideas? And wherever we get these ideas, they are all shaping us. We know it's true because of our behavior, right? Think about people who smoke cigarettes. Did they say to themselves, you know, I think I'd like to have emphysema or lung cancer when I get older? No. There was another idea. There was this idea that all my friends are doing this or it's going to be cool to do this, so I'll start smoking cigarettes as well. I'm still curious about the person who had the original idea to take these leaves, dry them up, crumble them up, roll them up in paper, light one end on fire, and suck on the other end. I'm not sure where that idea came from, but still someone had the idea. And there's this idea out there, if you go to college, it will be beneficial for you and you'll get this degree and things will work out. It might be a fine idea, but we might ask, where did we get this idea? When I was a young person, I was with some friends by this pasture. There was these fence posts and a wire running between them, and it was not barbed. It was nice and smooth. And my friend said, oh, it's safe. You can touch that. And I did. It was a shocking experience. And guess what? I never touched one again because I had this idea that it was going to hurt. Our actions are based on our ideas. Granted, they're not always very well thought out ideas. Look, something's shiny. I think I'll buy it. But our ideas shape our actions. Our actions are based upon ideas. And bad ideas take us off the trail. And there's a reason we do not recognize these bad ideas for what they are. And the reason is we are not really too sure about the good ideas. We don't have a good understanding of the good ideas. And the good ideas, of course, come from the good idea person, namely God in His Scripture. And if you pay close attention to the good ideas, they'll help you not get off the path and to finish the path to its end. But sometimes we think to ourselves, oh, I've heard those good ideas once. And once was sufficient. Well, of course, if that's true, there would be no need for the English word remind. But there is a need for that, right, parents? You need to remind your children to clean their room. You need to remind them to do their homework. And sometimes the police officer needs to remind us of what the speed limit is. And that little piece of paper he hands us helps to remind us. Advertisers think they need to remind us. They need to remind us that their car is the best car and we should buy it. They need to remind us that we really need their medication for whatever it is that ails us. They need to remind us that we should eat their hamburger and not somebody else's hamburger. Well, we've heard it once. That should be sufficient. Why do they need to keep telling us again and again? Because, well, they think we easily forget. And we do. I eat the other hamburger place from time to time. Well, if we easily forget these ideas, then we're likely to easily forget other more important ideas. And so Scripture is encouraging us about these things, encouraging us about good, significant ideas. Scripture is encouraging us to think about good things. And so we hear from the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. To think about things is to be reminded of those. And like you hear this commercial over and over and over again, so that you could sing the jingle if you wanted to, we hear the words of Scripture over and over and over again. And so we hear Scripture say things like, love your enemies. And we think that maybe we should hear this again, because maybe it needs to be put into practice. But what happens often is we hear it once, we put it off into the storage facility of our mind somewhere where it'll collect dust and we don't think about it anymore. And so Scripture is encouraging us to think about these good things. Whatever's beautiful and lovely, think about these things. And Scripture is encouraging us to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, the moment you buy a house, you start discovering that quickly it is falling apart. Things were so much easier and so much better when you were a renter, right? You just called the landlord and the landlord came over and fixed it. But now you've bought this house, you own this house, or rather the house owns you, and you have to fix it up all the time. Something's always breaking down, you're always having to paint, you're always having to do something with the plumbing. It's always breaking down. And if you wait too long and let things go, then you'll be spending thousands of dollars and lots of time trying to renew this house. Well, the same thing is true with our minds. They are in continual need of renewal. Like our homes, they are eroding. There are forces, cultural forces, causing them to erode around us. And like dry rot in your home, very often they're not visible things until it's too late. And so we need this renewal of our minds. So Scripture encourages us to renew them. And Scripture encourages us to think deeply about these things. Not just think about them, but think deeply about them. And the word the Bible uses for this is meditate. It does not mean cross your legs and hum. It's something a little deeper than that. It means this, the psalmist says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditate on His law day and night. Meditating on this word that you have heard. Meditating on this word that you have been reminded about, so that the words roll around in your mind and you think deeply about these words. Love your enemies. And you might ask yourself, do I have enemies? What is it that constitutes an enemy anyway? And if I had an enemy, what would it look like if I were to love this person? Our culture does not encourage us to think deeply about things. It encourages us to make snap decisions and snap judgments about things. You heard a soundbite. You saw an image. You should make a decision and make it right now. But when we fail to think deeply about things, then we are influenced by those soundbites and we're influenced by those images. So Scripture is encouraging us to meditate, to think, and to think deeply about these things that we've been reminded about. And then, as the Scripture reading reminded us this morning, take all of these thoughts that we have out there, take them all captive. Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought, every captive, to make it obedient to Christ. Eugene Peterson wrote these words, we talk of making the Bible relevant to the world, as if the world is the fundamental reality and the Bible that is something that's going to help fix it or shape it. And the Apostle Paul would say, no, the world is not the fundamental reality. Scripture, the Word of God, the world of God, that's the fundamental reality. And we're trying to get everything else to be shaped by that. And so we have to be reminded about these words over and over. And we take every thought that we hear out there captive and we submit it to Christ because Christ is a reality. And everything else falls under Him. And so this fall, we're going to begin another eclectic study of Scripture. Eclectic means simply you're drawing from lots of different sources to come together and think about things. Educators are telling us this all the time. We have all these different learning modalities. Some of us are audio learners. Some people need to see things on a screen. They're very visual learners. Other people, kind of kinesthetic, need hands-on, need to actually see something and do it, put it into practice. And others want to sit around and visit with others and see what they can learn from others. And so in our study this fall, you will do all of those things. We're going to go through the kingdom of God. This is our lesson series starting September 5th. We're going through the kingdom of God, and you're going to pick up, and hopefully you've already got one of these brochures. And on Monday, well, you can do it on Tuesday if you like, but Monday's the 5th, you have four readings throughout the week. And you'll read, and at the end of the reading, there is a question. There's an opportunity for you to think deeply about these words. Four times during the week, you can spend time with the Word of God, thinking deeply about these words. And then on Sunday morning when you show up, the sermon will be about those. And then you have an opportunity, if you're in a home group or any kind of small group, to gather together to discuss what you all have learned together in that. And so we're taking advantage of all these learning modalities. And finally, you'll be given an opportunity to actually, during that week, go out and put it into practice. Again, it does no good to study a manual on riding a bike if you never get on the bike. And so you will be encouraged to get on the bike as we go through the week. And if we do all of these things, you might be able to go to the storage facility of your mind and pull some things out, dust them off, and be reminded of them. There's two times in Scripture that people, Ezekiel's one of them, John's the other one, people are reminded or encouraged, I should say, to eat the book. Take this book and eat this book. Here it is to John in the book of Revelation. I think I lost my scripture. There we go. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but it will be sweet in your mouth as honey. It's sweet because it's the very Word of God. So of course it will be sweet in our mouths, but it will be sour in your stomach. Why will it be sour in your stomach, John? It will be sour in your stomach because it is difficult to stomach these words. Difficult given all the other things that we've consumed. It doesn't mix well in our lives with all the other things we've been willing to stomach in our lives. So you may not wish to eat this book as we go through this study. You may not wish to eat these words. You may not wish to be reminded of the Word of God. You may not wish to take them in and think deeply about them. You may instead wish to take in the other ideas of the culture around us, the cotton candy ideas of the culture around us. And if that is your choice, I would simply remind you of this. You remember, you are what you eat. Let's stand and sing.